Title: Writing Motifs That Survive Heavy Effects Advanced. Alright, let's get into something that separates cool sound design from an actual drum and bass hook. Because in D&B, we love to absolutely destroy sounds. We resample, distort, bit crush, pitch drop, filter, stretch, drown it in reverb, slam it into a bus, and then we wonder why the motif vanished. It's not that the effects are too heavy, it's that the motif had no identity underneath the effects. So in this lesson, you're going to build a motif that stays recognizable even when you go brutal. We'll do it by writing a motif with multiple identity anchors, then building it as a system, a clean motif core, a shadow layer that keeps it readable, and an FX shell that can get wild without deleting the hook. Then we'll resample it and slice it, jungle style, so the rhythm becomes indestructible. Before we touch the motif, set the context. Set your tempo around 172 to 175 BPM. Put your grid on 1/16, and keep triplets available if you want some spice later. Now, get a basic rolling drum bed going immediately. You need groove early, because a motif that sounds great in solo might disappear the second you put it against hats and snare. Quick skeleton for one bar, kick on 1.1 and 1.3, snare on 1.2 and 1.4. Then 1/16 closed hats with slight velocity variation so it breathes. If you want extra drive, add a ride on the offbeats. Nothing fancy. The point is, you want a real D&B beat environment to judge whether the motif speaks. Now, the core concept, identity anchors. A motif survives heavy effects when it has at least two anchors, ideally three. Think of it like redundant encoding. If one cue gets obliterated, another one still communicates the idea. Anchor one is timing, the rhythmic fingerprint. This is the most effects-proof thing you can write. You can crush the audio into garbage and people will still recognize a rhythm. Anchor two is shape, the pitch contour, not the exact notes, the up and down movement. Even two notes can be enough. Anchor three is envelope, stab versus swell versus gated pulses. Filtering and distortion might change tone, but the envelope often still reads. There are other anchors too, register placement, transient character, and a timbre marker like a consistent bite or formant. But if you lock timing, shape, and envelope, you're already dangerous. Here's a quick survivability test I want you to adopt. After you write the motif, low pass it to about 400 to 700 Hz. If you can still kind of hum what it's doing, you're in the safe zone. If it turns into meaningless thuds, it's probably relying on fragile high-frequency detail. Okay, let's write a motif. I want you to think rhythm first, melody second. A lot of D&B motifs are basically drum patterns that happen to be pitched. Jungle stabs, Reese phrases, foghorn calls, Euro growl patterns, the rhythm is the hook. So make a one-bar idea with only 3 to 6 hits. Fewer hits means each hit can have meaning, and it won't blur under saturation and compression. Example in F minor, on a 1/16 grid, start with hits on 1.1, 1.1.3, 1.2.3, 1.3, then a rest, then one more hit around 1.4.2. That little placement at 1.4.2 is money. Slightly unexpected placements survive almost any FX chain, because the ear recognizes the timing. Do this in Ableton. Create a MIDI track with operator. Keep it simple. Program the rhythm first using one note, like F2, for every hit. Don't touch pitch yet. Make it groove like a percussive pattern. Then, once the rhythm feels good, change just a couple of hits to create contour. For example, F2 up to AB2, then maybe G2, then back to F2. You're not composing a symphony. You're carving a recognizable shape. Now we build the motif core patch. This is your clean, readable version. It should sound solid and stable, not overly dependent on micro detail. In operator, start with a basic algorithm. Just oscillator A, no FM. Pick a saw wave for bite, or square if you want it hollower. Turn on the filter, low pass 24. Put the cutoff somewhere around 1.2 to 2.5 kHz depending on how bright you want it, and add a bit of resonance, not too much. Then shape the amp envelope to be steady, very fast attack, short decay around 150 to 300 milliseconds, low sustain, and a release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. The goal is a clear syllable per hit. Now we add something that's way more important than people think, a transient marker. This is the little tag that helps your motif read through drums. Add saturator, drive it a little, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn on soft clip. Then add EQ8, high pass around 120 to 200 Hz if this is not your sub. And here's the move, add a narrow bell boost, maybe 2 to 4 dB, somewhere in the 2 to 4 kHz range. That byte region is an identity tag. Even if you filter, distort, and resample, some impression of that presence tends to survive. It helps the motif speak on small speakers and through busy hats. Now the secret weapon. The shadow layer. Duplicate the MIDI track. Name one motif main and the other motif shadow. The shadow's job is not to sound impressive. The shadow's job is to keep the motif recognizable when the main layer turns into chaos. Think of it as the caption under the picture. On motif shadow, use something stable. Operator with a square wave works perfectly. Set the filter to low pass 24 and deliberately band limit it. Keep it in that mid-forward zone, maybe 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Shorten the amp envelope even more than the main, so it's tight. Then add auto filter after operator and set it to band pass around 900 Hz with a moderate Q. That locks it into an AM radio band. Then utility. Set width to 0%, mono. Pull the gain down, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB. It should feel like a ghost of the motif, not a second lead. Teacher note here, keeping the shadow consistent across the track is a huge part of why the motif survives. Your main layer can evolve, but the shadow is like the listener's reference point. Now, we destroy the main, but we destroy it with constraints. On motif main, build a heavy effects chain. Start with EQ8 pre-effects. High pass around 80 to 150 Hz, because the low end gets messy fast when you distort. You can notch resonances later, but for now just keep the extremes under control. Then saturator again, but heavier. Drive maybe 6 to 12 dB. Soft clip-on. Then amp, stock Ableton. Try clean or rock. Push the gain. Don't worry if it sounds a bit ridiculous in solo. We're going to control it after. Optional. Redux for grit. Downsample around 2 to 6. Bit reduction around 10 to 14. If you go too extreme, it can turn into pure fizz, so use it like seasoning unless total annihilation is the goal. Then auto filter. This is your readability control. The filter is not just an effect, it's a compositional tool. Map the cutoff to a macro so you can open the mouth of the motif at key moments. Optional. Corpus for metallic identity. Tube or a beam can add a consistent character. Tune it to the key, like F, and keep the mix low, 5 to 15%. That gives you a timbre marker that can survive resampling, because it's a consistent resonance. Now, here's the mistake people make. They do the destruction chain, and then they stop. But heavy FX becomes unreadable when dynamics flatten, the spectrum gets too wide, and transients disappear. So we do post control. After the chain, add compressor. Ratio around 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so some transient still pokes through. Release 60 to 150 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction, not 12. We are controlling, not erasing. Then EQ8 post. If you lost presence, a gentle shelf at 3 to 6 kHz can bring readability back. If it's muddy, cut a bit around 200 to 400 Hz. This is where you make it sit against drums instead of fighting them. Now we turn this into an arrangement weapon. I and B states. Group motif main and motif shadow into a group called motif bus. On the bus, put an audio effect rack. Create two chains, a clean and B destroy. A clean might be mild saturation and tighter filtering. B destroy is the full madness and movement. Map the chain selector to a macro called state, and automate it across the arrangement. The reason this works is psychological. If the listener hears the clean reference first, their brain learns the motif. Then when you mangle it, they still perceive it as the same idea. Bonus. Keep the shadow mostly constant across both states. Let main be the one that morphs. That way, the hook doesn't disappear when you go full mayhem. Now let's do the very DNB part. Resample. Slice and recompose. Create a new audio track called Resample Motif. Set its input to resampling. Record 8 bars while you automate the fun stuff. Move the auto filter cutoff, change distortion amount, do a couple reverb throws. Quick tip for resample hygiene. Consider putting a limiter on the motif bus before you print, aiming for only 1 to 3 dB of reduction. This prevents random peaks from making your resample inconsistently ugly. Unless you want that. Sometimes you do. But at least make it a choice. Once you've recorded, drag that audio into simpler and switch to slice mode. Slice by transients if it's punchy, or slice by 1/8 if your motif is very grid tight. Turn warp on. Now you can re-trigger slices with MIDI. Here's the rule. Keep the original rhythm fingerprint on key beats. Preserve at least 3 hit positions per bar. Then allow yourself 1 or 2 slice swaps per bar for variation. This is why jungle edits still hit so hard. Even if the sound is destroyed beyond recognition, The slice rhythm preserves identity. You're basically turning sound design into drum programming. Now we place it in the mix so it actually cuts through rolling drums. First, keep sub separate. Most motifs like this live in mid-bass or lead territory. If you try to make your motif also be your sub, your FX chain will destroy your low-end consistency. Second, sidechain the motif bus slightly to the kick and snare. Subtle. Ratio around 2 to 1, attack 5 to 15 milliseconds, release 80 to 140 milliseconds, and only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. The goal is to stop masking, not to pump like house. Stereo discipline. If your main is wide and distorted, your shadow should stay mono. Use utility. You can try widening main to 120 to 160% if it helps, but keep shadow at 0% width. Then do a mono check. Temporarily put utility on the master and set width to 0. If the motif vanishes in mono, you've built a fake hook. Fix it now, not after mastering. Now, three fast checks I want you to do whenever you've gone too far with FX. 1. Mono check. Does the motif still point in the groove? 2. Quiet playback. Turn your monitors way down. Can you still follow the motif? If not, the hook is probably too reliant on sheer loudness and high frequency hype. 3. Band pass check. Put an auto filter band pass around 1kHz after the chain. If the pattern still reads through that narrow band, it's built on strong identity cues. Let's cover the big mistakes so you can avoid wasting hours. Mistake 1. The motif relies on fragile detail. If the hook is that tiny filter squeak, distortion will erase it. Build rhythm and contour first. Mistake 2. Too many notes. Busy motifs blur under saturation and compression. In DNB, fewer hits with stronger timing usually wins. Mistake 3. No clean reference. If the listener never hears the motif clearly, they can't recognize it when it's mangled. Mistake 4. Effects with no constraints. Distort, widen, reverb, compress, and you get flat wash. Post-EQ and transient or dynamic control is not optional. Mistake 5. Masking with hats and breaks. That 2 to 4kHz bite can get eaten by hats. Either carve space in the drums or shift where your motif's presence lives. Now a few advanced composition upgrades, because you're here for the high-level stuff. 1. Morph pairs. Keep the exact same rhythm, but write two different contours. One is stepwise, like F to G to AB. The other uses bigger jumps, like F to C to AB. Alternate every two bars. This audio version is shortened for playback.